The time is 9 o'clock. It's sorry, 10 o'clock. May I suggest that we start
100%
the meeting? Brian, how are you doing in terms of quorum?
Chair, we do indeed form a quorum.
We do form a quorum. Thank you so much. Colleagues, we have about 7 sets of minutes that we must approve. We're not going wild in terms of, dealing with our minutes, but we do pick up on the issues. We don't leave anything behind, even though we don't approve. But I would propose that we today try and deal with some of them, and particularly those that relate to the matters at hand that we are discussing today, so that we are then able to remind ourselves and of the discussions that led to us deciding to have the meeting today to consider the briefing on the HR Human Resources Action Plan, and two, on the measures put in place in order to contain the over expenditure. So those are the two items essentially in the main for today, but there's a history to it, to these issues. In order to refresh our memories, I want us to go back to those minutes that are relevant to the issue at hand. And Brian will assist me lifting up those minutes, probably start with them, that pertain to the issue at hand. One of them, of the minutes, at the minutes of the 26th of August, 2020, where we invited National Treasury, and the Defence Force Service Commission, of course, to especially the HR section, the issues of competition of employees, the force structure, and the force design, and the rejuvenation of the SNDF. So I don't know if you agree with me or you want us to go direct straight to the items and then deal with these minutes afterwards. I asked Brian to resend the minutes. He has just done so. I'm sure we all have gone through those minutes. They were sent long time ago, as and when they were approved. But I asked him to send all of them in one email. So, colleagues, I don't know. I'm suggesting that maybe let's look at the report first. of the workshop on the
report
of August. Can you find the report?
The report of the 26th.
All right. So this is the report. But just before I we go through the report to pick up on to remind ourselves of what we said and how we got to where we are today. Let us deal with the apologies first. Brian, are there any apologies?
Morning, sir. Sir, we have an apology from the Honorable Minister Mapisa Ngakula. She is currently in cabinet, but I have been advised that she will be joining us during the course of the meeting. But I see that she is now locked into the meeting. Secondly, we have an apology from Ingosi Tabekulu, who also has another meeting that is sitting at the same time. We have an apology from the Honorable Tembo, who also has another committee meeting which is sitting at the same time. Those are all the apologies that we have seen.
All right. And let me check if there are any apologies on the side of the meeting. And the first sector is in the meeting. Sector, I don't have a record.
No, we don't have. We don't have. Sorry, Chairperson. From our side, we don't have anybody, but we will have also our budget manager who will join in, Ms. Nangam Sochibilika. But otherwise, I'm here. And then we'll also have Admiral Gugu should be also linked in, and General Yam from the Office of the Chief of the Defence Force.
All right. Can you check if they have joined in?
Okay, I'll do that right now, Chair. Okay.
Admiral Gugu, have you joined the party? I see his name on the screen. Vice Admiral Gugu.
Thank you, Chair. I am in, Chair. I have logged in. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. General Yam, our Chief of Staff, you expected to join the meeting. Are you ready to join the meeting? Doesn't look like the Chief of Staff is part of the meeting.
The Chief of Staff is not here yet. Sorry, Chairperson. The Chief of Staff is not here yet, but we have our colleagues from finance.
All right.
Okay.
We received an apology that the Minister is in Cabinet.
I think she's joined, Chairperson.
I am here, Chairperson. Thank you. And the Deputy Minister is also here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Minister, and welcome. And the GM, welcome to you as well. Thank you so much. All right. I just wanted to check who's in the meeting. I also can see that the Defence Force Service Commission is in the meeting. Who from the Defence Service Commission is in the meeting? The commissioners who are in the
meeting. Chairperson Ian Robertson is here. Morning, Chair. Morning, Minister. Morning, Deputy Minister.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the meeting, Chair. Right, having recognized all those who are in the meeting, I wish to welcome all of you and to this meeting. Brian, may you then flight that report of the meeting of the workshop of 26th of August 2020?
Peter will be flighting from his side, as he'll be taking the committee through that report.
Sorry, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Brian, is it possible to fly it from your side? I have a problem putting it up.
All right.
Are you succeeding, Brian?
Yes, sir.
All right. It's on the screen. Is it visible to all of your colleagues?
There it is.
It is, okay. Sir.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Brian,
Daniel? It definitely is.
Thank you so much.
Morning again, Chair, members, Minister, Deputy Minister, colleagues. This is our draft report that still have to be adopted of the 26th of August. And there in the introduction, we're just saying who have been invited to present to the committee on the issues of the force structure, compensation of employees, the development of an exit mechanism, and then force rejuvenation. So firstly, it was Department of Defense that was invited, and then secondly, also invited National Treasury, and then the Defense Force Service Commission. The next paragraph there just explains basically the purpose of the workshop, saying that the human resource dimension is an issue has been frequently engaged with in the recent past, and therefore the committee undertook to conduct this workshop. And then the second paragraph there, just go up in the front. The second paragraph, we're just saying that there were selected issues that were discussed in the workshop. And as I said earlier, it's about the compensation of employee, illegal expenditure, related to that, the force structure and the force design exit mechanism. Then there at the bottom, we're just saying it's important to know that Cabinet has actually in the past imposed a ceiling on the compensation of employees, and National Treasury has then given the directives to the various departments. Next slide, please. Now, just continue, Ryan. There in 1.3, we're just basically giving an overview of the workshop itself. Carry on. And there is basically the presentation by the DOD itself, and where they were briefing us on the compensation of employees, saying that in their strategic plan of 2020-2025, there were key personnel issues. And these are basically the guidelines also there listed in bullet form that they were considering. And the first one is there is to continue to rejuvenate the force. The next one is the reserves will augment the HR capacity requirements, and then to eliminate duplicating structures, accelerate the development of a sustainable HR strategy and plan, to optimize the personnel organization, to ensure military discipline, to maintain the current operation capability within the current operational strength to ensure rejuvenation. Okay. And then lastly, there to rejuvenate the personnel component through approved and funded mechanism to ensure the upward renewal and the functional career mobility. See the next section there, there at the bottom, the DOE is just saying that they will rely on the following HR mechanisms to manage the future HR capacity. I think it's important for our discussion today. And the first one there is that they say,
I don't know who's this person. Is
I muted them, sir.
Muted them. It's Tumi. Tumi, your mic was on, and both your mic and your video. All right. Thank you, sir.
Chair, just to say that the DO said they will rely on the following HR mechanisms to manage the future HR capacity, and I think with regard to the discussion we're going to have today, these are important. It's firstly that they will rely on natural attrition to reduce the force. Secondly, they will rely on their rejuvenation strategy. They will implement severance packages like MEM and ESP and so forth. The next one will be that they will manage the personnel flow, the career with relates to career mobility. And then they will also affirm the service dispensation management principles. And then lastly, it would be about education, training and development. Then they listed as the various challenges they were experiencing with regards to the COE, saying that the HR component will eventually consume all resources required by the DoD to execute its mandate. And this is largely due to the consistent budget cuts and the capping of the COE ceiling below the existing strength, compelling the department to source additional funding from the operating portion of the budget. And I think that's the important issue that we need to or will be discussing today. Secondly, the understanding of the concept of rejuvenation or rejuvenating the SNDF workforce has moved on from HR redundancy to assume or to assure available forces by causing a personnel flow which creates internal vacancies that are full at entry level. It will allow the retention of expertise and institutional memory, which are critical for preparation and employment or deploying our forces, and coupled with the utilization of the available HR tools. So this is something that we discussed earlier as well, during the Lagarde class as well, where they were saying that the utilization is much broader than just focusing on the HR issues. It's also about facilities, the equipment, etc. And there they say the implication of the above is that the DoD may be unable to provide value against its funding from the fiscus, as all other elements of the post-deficit will be negatively affected. Secondly, lifting of the COE through additional funding per annum, there's about $3 billion that they were talking about. And thirdly, the tempo and the pace of rejuvenating the SNDF workforce composition is dependent on the trajectory of the COE allocation, and if not addressed, will result in a continued disparity between the budget requirement and the allocation. Chair, the next one, they basically just discussed the development of an exit mechanism, and the first thing they were referred to was the mobility exit mechanism, and also the employee-initiated severance package. Remember, they told us that they put this on hold because of the unintended consequences. For instance, that those people that they actually need, or some of the more productive members of the defense, which were actually taking this up, so they put this on hold and they are looking on that. Okay, then the second paragraph, they are just saying what are the key drivers for the development of an exit mechanism, and these were identified as curbing stagnation, the slow pace of career mobility, and then the last one there were rejuvenation. Chair, an important thing there, at the bottom there, Brian, let's go up a bit. They were saying that the government employee pension fund, in terms of that specific rule, it was identified as the desired method to utilize the separation of members. An organizational driven mechanism which is implemented with a purpose to contribute to rejuvenation of the SNDF workforce composition and to ensure and to secure a dignified separation of members is required. So that is a specific rule that they said they need to pay attention to. Second, then in the third place, it was just a briefing on the force rejuvenation. And then in the second paragraph, they're just saying the Military Command Council provided the following direction to HR, where they were saying cognizance must be taken of the defense and security situation in the RSA, especially with regards to the economic growth outlook and the high unemployment rate. The description of the red quadrant, that's called quadrant 4, creates the perception that soldiers accounted for in this quadrant are not utilized nor are available for deployment. And they should not divorce the rejuvenation plan from the requirements to plan, prepare, and conduct military operations, as I referred to earlier with regards to POTFIT abbreviation. The next one there is to correct the emphasis on career management decisions, which include stagnation, and instead refocus on the service system employed and the resultant consequence thereof. That is, the impact of the long-term service system guarantees service to the age of 60 years, and in so doing, it contributes to stagnation. The next one is there, they note the political sphere in which the Defence Force operates and be wary of its influence it may have on the unintended consequences of reducing the workforce of the SANF. And then lastly, to invite National Treasury representatives to an engagement with the aim to demonstrate the SANF's planning processes with a view to engender understanding for the accuracy and the extent of planning the SANF undergoes in the process. So the next one there is just the criteria for the plan. And that's now specifically the rejuvenation plan. The first one is that they will accept that those serving in the long-term service system and on long service contracts will remain, though not excluded from participation in the mechanism to rejuvenate the force composition. The next one here is the focus on the age group 35 to 39 of the combat corps to prevent stagnation. Thirdly, they focus on those who have served 12 years in a specific rank, focus on the rank groups private to sergeant and candidate officers to major, base the number of the potential interdepartmental transfers on government departments, those departments' HR requirements, and then fill the combat support technical and professional corps vacancies. There is now with regards to logistics, HR signals and others. Let's go up, Ryan. And the next one there is just there to explore ways to demilitarize members internally in the DoD with a view to maintain institutional memory and know-how. The next one there is to exclude for planning purposes the OSD wherein certain members serve. Those are for mostly the professionals. And then lastly, there to exclude scarce-skilled corporate marketing. The next one here just refers to the conceptual approach that the chief HR in the department were going to utilize for implementation. And there, the first one, they were talking about remastering. The second one there is about demilitarization. And the third one is about interdepartmental transfer. So those were the briefing by the department itself, and the next briefing was basically there by National Treasury itself. Chair, the first one just gives the background with regards to the compensation of employees in the Defence Force, and they're referring there to the 2015. And they're just referring to the 2015 Defence Review's target of 40-30-30, where 40% is for HR, 30% for operational expenditure, and the other 30% for capital expenditure. And as we are aware, this has not been achieved, because we can see there, for instance, that just with regards to HR expenditure, that was around 63%.
My apologies. I still see many people not muted, and there's a lot of background noise. Typically, don't mute their microphones, please. They can just
Can you hear me? Hello, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
May I ask Ntime, Skosana, and Gambu? And Gambu, to mute their mics. Gambu, can you mute your mic, please? Gambu? Can you mute him, Brian? Is he muted? Thanks. All right, continue, Peter.
Thank you, Chair. There's just the last paragraph on that page, 3.1. There we're just referring to National Treasury basically advising the committee that given the Cabinet's approved COE budget reductions of 1.9 billion in 2017-18 and 2.9 billion in 2018-19 as part of the aggregate expenditure ceiling, the Defence needed to take measures to implement reforms within its HR resources as part of its attempt to stay within the COE ceiling going forward. And I think, Chair, this is the debate that's basically going on between the DOD and the department's HR section. And importantly, Chair, they state there, the last sentence on that page, to date, no significant reforms. Right? Let's go up a bit. They just say there, Chair, to date, no significant reforms or attempts by the department to stay within the compensation of employees' budget have been noticed. Instead, the department will maintain its personnel headcount at 75,500. And the reserve force utilization at about 2.6 million mandates or 14,000 members per year full-time. So I think that goes to the crux of the matter with regards to the engagement between the DOD and National Treasury. And they're saying they further say that the DOD has since 2017-18 overspent on its COE budget, resulting in irregular expenditure, and is projected to overspend the 2020 and 2021 COE budget by $3 billion, and this will increase significantly the accumulated irregular expenditure. Moreover, the upward adjustment of the COE budget in the defense environments in the repurposing from the SDA and goods and services is unsustainable. Hence, National Treasury has not recommended in the shifting of funds towards the COE since 2018-2019. And there is just the three recommendations from National Treasury with regards to terminations and appointment. It says, firstly, that the DOD should consider national attrition as part of dealing with compensation pressure. Secondly, the department should use the MSDS as part of its rejuvenation strategy. And then thirdly, the rejuvenation of the SNDF can still happen, but given the constrained fiscal outlook, a balance must be struck. The next one, Chair, just relates with regards to the National Treasury's briefing on the rejuvenation. Brian, just the next page. Just stop there. And there, just go up. Just go up a bit. There, Chairperson, in the second paragraph, they note again that the DOD plans to maintain its personnel numbers at 75,500 going forward, despite the COE budget remaining insufficient to accommodate this number. The proposal to transfer SNF members to other departments requires the DOD to consult the affected departments. The committee was more importantly advised that the current force design and structure is unsustainable, and this will lead to insignificant funding requirements for compensation of employees while eroding the department's capital and operating budget. He says, therefore, the rejuvenation plan in its current form will not resolve the challenges faced by the department. There will be further engagement between the DOD, National Treasury, and DPS officials on the defense rejuvenation strategy and to map the way forward. And then they said they went on and then they discussed the current realities and challenges with regards to the rejuvenation. And firstly, they were saying some of the challenges include a constrained fiscal environment and departmental baseline reductions, dealing with pressure on the COE, personnel reductions versus the rejuvenation, the impact of long and open-ended peacekeeping missions under budget, increasing the ordered commitments within a tight fiscal space, the conditions of service retirement at the age of 60 while now no longer deployable, the realignment of the defense budget to achieve the 40-30-30 ratio between personnel, operation, and capital, boots on the ground versus modernization. There is now the numbers versus the effective defense force. So if you have a certain number of soldiers there, you know, they need to be underground versus those that have to be are required for an effective defense force. The last one they say is in dealing with the personnel-related challenges, what should be career paths for soldiers to ensure rejuvenation of the defense force? So it's basically that they have to look at the career path of the soldiers if they want to assist with the rejuvenation of the defense force. Chair, the next one is just the conclusions of National Treasury on the rejuvenation. And the first thing they say, there's no space for additional funding from the fiscal, given the constrained fiscal environment. Secondly, the department is likely to incur unauthorized expenditure, as we said earlier, for the financial year 2021-2022. unless it deals with the COE pressures, given that the SDA cutoff of 5 billion will take effect and there may be further baseline reductions over the 2021 MTF period, given the constrained fiscal outlook. And then thirdly, in its current form, the proposed rejuvenation strategy will not resolve the COE's challenges effectively. The defense has also the discretion to utilize the reserves to implement or the implementation of national attrition and the MSD index, and these mechanisms should be considered in dealing with the COE pressure. Next, the defense should strike a balance regarding the utilization of reserves and the maintenance of regular force given the constrained fiscal environment. They say, the next one, they say perhaps they should consider reducing the regular force and civilian component that is augmented by a higher share of reserve to have a defense force that is less costly and sustainable. Basically saying that the ratio between the reserves and the permanent force should actually be looked at because they believe that the reserves are less cost effective. The next one, defense to consider implementing early retirement without penalization of pension benefits in line with that specific section of the PSA Act to reduce the pressure on the COE, given that they are SNDF members with a higher age profile and many years in rank. Page up, right? If there's any proposed plan that does not deal decisively with the department's personnel headcount, force design and the conditions of service of the SNDF is unlikely to succeed in assisting the department to operate within the COE ceiling. See, I think this is an issue that we need to reiterate because this is what the National Treasury has also emphasized. He's saying that if you want to deal with the personnel headcount, you know, one need to look at the force design, the conditions of service for the SNDF, because otherwise, you know, it won't assist. If you don't look at those, you won't be able to properly address the COE ceiling. And then lastly, Chair, National Treasury just reiterates that the objective is to have an effective but affordable defense force. And this is something that they've emphasized all along, that they are in support of the defense force, but there are certain things that the defense force also need to do with regards to the COE budget. Chair, the next one is just the briefing by the Defense Force Service Commission. And I'll go straight to the next one on the compensation of employees, what they have to say. Firstly, they made the following observations and comments with regards to the COE. It says, the Commission's concern on the COE in relation to the allocated budget have been communicated on numerous occasions, especially when it was a time for the cost of living adjustment, the COLA recommendation. The second one, the Commission has also questioned that the SNDF enjoys the same increase as the general public service, whereas their salaries are generally higher than those in the public service. The third one, duplication of benefits, and that's especially with regards to the MMS and the SMS members who are paid a total cost to the employer package, but still enjoy free medical service as a benefit provided by the SNDF. This also includes issues like the use of state vehicles by these members. And that was in the 2018 COLA recommendation. The next one, the Commission has previously expressed concern on the current top-heavy structure of the SANDF. And this is something that we've also discussed at the workshop. In its current form, the support services, that is now HR, for instance, HR, has more generals that accept, which has the permanent structure, which is almost twice the size of the SNDF. The next one, it has been acknowledged that some of these challenges is as a result of integration. However, this has never been rectified post the finalization of integration. The Commission has previously recommended that the structure of the SNDF need to be reviewed in order to correctly reflect on the organization's core function. Next one, the potential focus has previously expressed concern on the aging defense force, with the majority of these members being in the infantry corps. And some of this is as a result of the integration process, where some members were onboarded at a late age. And then the last one there, Chair, he says, at the current rate or trajectory, this won't change unless the active mechanisms are implemented because members stay on until they reach retirement age. With regards to the exit mechanisms, these were the recommendations, Chair. They firstly highlighted their concern with regards to the lack of succession planning in the SANDF. They said this was also linked to the failure or non-existence of career management. They expressed the concern on how the SANDF is operating. They seem to be integrating every year. And then fourthly, recommendations have been made in relation to the implementation of the exit ages as proposed by the DOD HR Charter as well as Defence Review 2015. Chair, I'm coming to the conclusion of the report. And firstly, Chair, there are the observations that the committee has made after they've taken the presentations of the three entities. And the first observation, Chair, is that the committee noted that given the current fiscal constraint, it's unlikely the department will receive any further financial injections to assist with the identified challenges. Secondly, the committee also took note of the increasing COE expenditure that is encroaching on the funding of other departmental programs. Thirdly, noting the national strategy assertion that the rejuvenation strategy is in its current form will not resolve the COE challenge effectively, the committee decried the fact that the rejuvenation plan seems not to have clearly defined milestones with timeframes attached to each milestone. Members were reminded the DOD that a number of these plans have been presented to previous parliament, but progress could not be assessed due to the failure to commit to milestone with 5 timeframes. The fourth one, members expressed concern regarding the failure of the department to absorb the youth who has completed MSDC program. The committee agreed with the observation made by the commission of the unintended consequences that this can have in contributing to the MSDS being involved in crime as a result of frustration. The next one, the committee further expressed the concern regarding the perceived discrimination of members in getting promotion. The last one, the committee noted the top-heavy structure of the department for the SANDF and its contribution to the HR challenges of the Defence Force. The commission has in the past made recommendation in this regard. Then lastly, Chair, the recommendations of the committee after the observations, stating there firstly that the current fiscal environment motivated the committee to recommend that the DOD and National Treasury should continue their ongoing engagement to explore solutions to identify challenges related to the COE, force rejuvenation and exit mechanism. Both parties are encouraged to seriously investigate the various options available to ensure an effective but affordable defense force. Secondly, the department should explore means to source alternative or additional revenue through the sweating of assets, such as the selling of obsolete equipment and the leasing of buildings and land. Thirdly, the minister is encouraged to pursue avenues to fund rejuvenation of the aging force, including soliciting the support of the commander-in-chief in this regard. In the medium term, the DOD should resuscitate the mobility exit mechanism, the employee-initiated severance package, which were placed on hold in order to prevent a further decline in the defense force. Further to this, the MSDS should be utilized as a means to accelerate the rejuvenation strategy. And lastly, Chair, the committee should engage the Defense Force Service Commission as well as the DOE on its experience regarding the non-implementation of outstanding recommendations. Chair, that is the report of the committee.
Colleagues, this is the report of the commission. I'm talking to those who were in the meeting on the 26th of August. Are there any corrections on the report? Don't take it off the screen. We'll just go page by page. Brian, because we must adopt it today. Just go to the top page. Right, Right, because we are correcting the report, I'll limit to those who were in the meeting on the 26th of August, and because we're not debating the report as it were. All right, so on the introduction, there is no any issue, colleagues, and 1.1, purpose of the workshop, any issue, colleagues? And right, 1.2 is attendance. Any issue, colleagues? Any correction on the attendance register? Right, doesn't look like there's any correction.
Yeah. No, excuse me, sir. I don't seem to see my name there.
You recall yourself in the meeting, eh?
Yeah.
Sure. Please,
thanks.
Computer adding his name to the report.
No, sir.
Thank you so much. Can you go to one? Yes,
Chairperson. I've never been absent from any visual meeting, and this is not the first time it happened. I think now it's the third or the fourth meeting that I remind Brian that I've never been absent to any meeting.
All right. Brian, just make a note of that. Thank you. And 1.3 is overview of the workshop program, and just go to move to the next paragraph, right? 2, briefing by the Department of Defense, 2.1, briefing by DOD on COE, compensation of employees, and just go a little bit so that we go as far as to the end. All right. Brian, no, you have gone far too far. You've gone far too far, Brian. Just go to the top. All right, thanks. All right, colleagues. These are the items, matters that were in the report. You tell me if there is any correction that you want made. Just go down, picky by picky. Hanyane.
Right. The next page,
okay. The next page, yes. It doesn't look like there's any comment on this one. And right to the implications, yes. And then go to 2.2, colleagues. Any correction to be effected? 2.2, right, is briefing by the DOD on the development of an exit mechanism.
Chairperson? I just want to make sure about this. I recall that all these in terms of government employees pension fund has been mentioned, but and also there's a reference somewhere about interaction with DPSA, but I cannot recall whether that was raised at that point, but many our soldiers, if I'm correct, are not employed in terms of the government employees pension fund. Maybe I can just be corrected on that. And also, they are not employed in terms of the Department of Public Service Employment Act. So they are employed in terms of the Defense Act. And if that is the case, then obviously you sit with only the civilian side that is. Linked to the government employees pension fund. Maybe I can be corrected, and also in terms of DPSA, they will be DPSA employees and not Defense Act employees. And I know that has got a major effect on what we eventually want to achieve in terms of right-sizing the defense force.
Right. Admiral Kubu, do you recall this particular mention?
Thank you, Chair. We're still subscribing to GPF. I can confirm.
We can confirm. All right.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Sorry, Chair. What does it mean when you say you're subscribing to that? Is it in terms of are all the soldiers employed in terms of government employees pension fund, or is it just the concept of that you're subscribing to?
Let me put it differently. Do they contribute to the
correct.
All uniform members also contribute to government pension funds, and they are paid according to that, including the PSEPs.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Murray. You scroll down. Continue, Brian. Okay, 2.3. A briefing by DOD on the fourth rejuvenation, right? Any correction here on this one? All right, continue, Brian. Criteria for the plan. And all right, continue, Brian. Sorry, conceptual approach brought implications for implementation, and these were the three pillars remastering, delimitarization, interdepartmental transfer. And okay, Brian, continue. Doesn't look like this. Okay. On the number three, briefing by National Treasury.
Chairperson, can I just ask that there was the reference to the DPSA, and the Admiral hasn't responded to whether soldiers are employed in terms of DPSA or in terms of military defense act.
Just a little bit, Maria. Which part of the report are you talking to now?
Demilitarization. It says may require DPSA relaxation, and that's why I'm just referring. I'm asking whether soldiers are employed in terms of DPSA or in terms of Defence Act.
I think it talks about public service. Staff. Admiral Kubu?
Thank you, Chair. In terms of that one, we can confirm that we not regulated under the DPSS uniform members. But what we were talking about in terms of demilitarization was that we will request DPSA to provide us with a relaxation, not to advertise outside the DOD, so that the military people can actually compete for those posts without having an extended appointment or outside or external advertisements. So that's what we were talking about there. So it was just the relaxation that we are requesting, and I think it is captured correctly there.
Thank you so much, Admiral, for that. Thanks, Mr. Murray, for raising that.
Thank you very much.
And briefing by National Treasury. 3.1, briefing by National Treasury on compensation of employees. Right, we know that it's been raised many a times. Continue, Brian. Let's go to the recommendation from Treasury, National Treasury, terminations versus appointments. All right. Those are the three recommendations put forward by National Treasury, which have been discussed with the DOD at a technical level. All right, 3.2, briefing by National Treasury on and
on the funding of forced rejuvenation going forward. Sorry. Before you just National Treasury reminded the committee that the development of the rejuvenation strategy by the Defence Force was in response to a recommendation by the ministers of defence and military veterans, finance and public service and administration in March 2019, as well as Parliament through the BRRR. In summary, the strategy aims to change the human resource profile of the SNDF without compromising the capacity requirements to plan, prepare, and conduct military operations. All right, continue, Brian. All right, current realities and challenges. Those were matters lifted up for discussions. For discussion, all right. All right. Continue, Brian. National Treasury and conclusions on their report, on their briefing. All right. They're talking about the fiscal, the constrained fiscal environment vis-a-vis the public sector, which bill, and they go on to the special defense accounts and so on and so forth. Let's go to four. Briefing by the Defense Force Service Commission. All right. And yes, all right, continue. This is what the DFSC said made contributed as their observations. And right, I understand the DFS. I mean, we have confirmed that the DFSC is in the meeting as well. If there is any correction they want to make, they're welcome to do so. But I limit to those who are in the meeting. And exit mechanism, right? Thank you. And they'll go to five committee observation. So these are the observations of the committee, and then we go to recommendations, paragraph six. Paragraph six, continue, Brian. Brian, are you at the end? Yes, Brian is at the end.
That is correct.
Thank you so much.
Chairperson, just in terms of observation, where Brian is maybe or Peter has maybe underscored what is in the report, and that is that it comes from previous parliaments as well. And the observation that is obviously from the report is that the alternatives, and hopefully we will see later today more as alternatives how to resolve the challenges. But in the report, the options to mitigate the challenges from the Department of Defense is limited basically to more money, whereas from the Service Commission and from National Treasury, they outline many more alternatives and matters of consideration. The one thing that I don't see, and I know that it's been part of discussion, and that's the whole matter of, and National Treasury has referred to that, and that's the use of a reserve force versus permanent force. And I know one of the challenges that we will be faced with eventually is, what are the dangers, the benefits and disadvantages of either retaining the reserve force strength, reducing the reserve force strength, or increasing the reserve force strength. The reason why I'm raising that is, that is part of the discretionary funds, so it can be reduced. However, the Defense Force has declared in a number of times that they basically cannot do our deployment without the assistance of the reserve force. That's border, that is DRC, that is Noklela. Many of those things they've said they cannot do that without the reserve force assistance. So we sit in a bit of a catch-22 situation.
Let's first say this correctly captures the discussions at the last meeting. Let's not debate it. So we are now raising a paragraph where part of what you're raising should have been, reflected. And where exactly are you, which paragraph are you talking to?
I'm just referring to the observations, in other words, five.
Number five. So just briefly, what do you want added without discussing it?
Yeah, I think just the lack of as many alternatives from lack of by the Department of Defense for alternatives to mitigate the challenges versus that of the National Treasury and the Service Commission. So obviously we would need and want more initiative, because currently, sir, the initiative seems not to be with the Department of Defense, but rather with National Treasury, DPSA, and the Service Commission, and not with Defense. And they should actually retain and regain the initiative in this regard.
All right. Okay, so we note that as an addition to the report. Correcting, adding what was said in the meeting, but not captured today. Any other thing, colleagues?
Sorry, Chairperson, I raised my hand.
Let me just go to this participation. Who is this? Salom?
Yes, sir, Commissioner Magilani.
Who is this?
Commissioner Magilani.
Commissioner Magilani. Yes, Commissioner?
Yes, sir. Sir, I just want to get clarity. I think it's on the first page where you went through the members who are present under the condition. It's only the chair and the deputy who were reflected. The commissioners, we were all present. So I kept quiet. My understanding was that maybe because the chair and the deputy were speaking on the presentation they were representing us, maybe that's why we're not had a presence in that meeting in the industry. So I just want to understand, Chair, if my understanding was correct. Our names are not there as a member of the commission who were present in that meeting. That's a clarity, Chair.
All right.
Chairperson.
Yes, Minister.
I'm sorry, Chair. May I say comments about something, Chair?
Can I finalize the report first, Minister, before you make a comment?
No, that's what worries me. I'm not commenting on the report, Chair. You know, I requested to be released by Cabinet. I did not realize that the agenda is that of adopting the report of the committee. I thought we were coming to deal with the issues which we have said we should come and deal with. Now, I don't know if I should go back to Cabinet and then come back later. But it's an hour I've been here, Chair, and Cabinet continues that side. I thought I would start with issues of the committee and go back to Cabinet.
Thank you,
Chair.
No, thanks, Minister. All right, Minister. No, I didn't know that you I thought you started at Cabinet and then asked to be released so that you can
depart. Yes, Chair. I started at Cabinet and then at 10 o'clock, was it 9, 10 o'clock, I left Cabinet to come and join the meeting so that I could participate in the issues which you had requested us to come and present, and go back to Cabinet if we finish before the end of Cabinet.
I'll accommodate that, Minister. Thank you so much. Right, colleagues, can we finish this exercise? We are almost at the end.
Chairperson, Chairperson, my sincere apologies. I just want to look at observations and recommendations. Earlier in the report by the DOD, they have referred to those ages that they need to address in terms of a rejuvenation. In terms of observation, maybe, you know, if we can just have the effect of that those proposals on the average age of 40. We know that the average age is 40, and we actually need to reduce the average age. So if those age groups that the department has identified that needed to be addressed, how will that impact on the average age in the Defence Force? That is just maybe an observation, and maybe that is something in terms of the recommendation that they can just give us feedback some other time, because that has got a huge impact on the capabilities of the Defence Force, in my opinion. Thank you.
Marais, we're not discussing the report at this stage, and we are actually checking. The general has just joined, and the mic is not muted. I think it's general. I'm not going to mention the name.
But Chair, the reason I'm mentioning that is because it comes from the report, and actually that should be part of the observations. And then going forward, recommendations that they give us feedback on that, because that's from the report. So that's not something out of the outside the report.
In summary, what are you saying, Mr. Marais?
I'm saying that in terms of their reference to the identified age groups that they have mentioned in their report, how they want to address that or use that to address all the rejuvenation and the challenges, HR challenges, how that will affect the average age of the Defence Force, and obviously part of the recommendation, that's an observation, because we need to reduce the average age, and then in terms of the recommendations, they must just give us a report on that going forward. Thank you.
Right. So we will. Peter. Peter Daniel.
Yes, Chair. I've got what Mr. Marais said. I will draft that as an observation firstly, and then they relate to the recommendation that they basically have to come and give us feedback on it.
Okay, that's fine. All right, no thanks.
You are muted.
Your mic is muted.
Thanks, colleagues. Must I take it that the report is accepted as true reflection of our discussion?
Yes, I propose.
Yes, so it's proposed. Any seconder?
I second it.
Lekwase, all right. Seconded. Thanks, colleagues. I think we've concluded the report. I thought we needed this report to serve before us because it sets the tone for the discussion today. Right. Having adopted this report, we can now discuss the two items because they flow from the report as it were, and where we ask the department to come back and with an actionable plan, not the noble intentions that were not tied down to any specific period, and so we are now back then to deal with that. Having said that, let's quickly move to the first item. The minister is in the house. I would ask the minister to give us her comments, and then invite the Secretary for Defense to then launch into the presentation, the first presentation. And the Honourable Minister.
thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Chairperson, we are here together with the sector and the Chief Human Resources. Of course, we've had an opportunity. We've had an opportunity to listen to the report of the committee, which is informed by the input both from the Department of Defense and the Defense Force Service Commission. I just want to set the record straight on just one matter which was mentioned here, which is that seemingly some of these initiatives are driven in the main by National Treasury and the Defense Force Service Commission.
I hope you're not discussing the report. You are now addressing us. You are now addressing the briefing.
Okay, Chair. I do have CHR and I do have the sector here with me. And Chair, the expectation, I was informed that we are supposed to present a report on how we plan to realign our HR in view of the budgetary constraints we have at the department. Chairperson, I thought that when we met 2 weeks ago at the Lukota, we were meant precisely to discuss some of these issues, including the force rejuvenation, the force design of the Defence Force, and really with specific reference on what it is that we are going to do to mitigate the budgetary constraints that we have as the Defence Force. Chair, I did indicate to you that one of the biggest problems we have, when you talk about issues of HR and issues of the budget, I know that there is a plan which has been well prepared by CHR, which plan has been canvassed with the Military Command Council, but a plan which has not been canvassed with the Plenary Defense Staff Council, but also not approved by the Council on Defense. My concerns, though, about presenting that plan at this forum, before you have exhausted all of those processes, is that we may as well create unnecessary problems for us as the defense and as a country. So I'm just saying, Chairperson, and which is what I did indicate to you at a personal level yesterday, is that the chief, the CHR is here. Your SecDef is here. There is a plan, but I am concerned about a plan which has not been well canvassed, particularly which is likely to impact on members of the South African National Defence Force, on whether their serviceability in the Defence Force, or even finances, which may even, I know that there's talk of allowances and so on. Those are matters which relate to conditions amongst others of the services of members of the Department of Defence. And therefore it's important that whatever it is that we present to you with as members of parliament, as members of parliament and employees, we should not present, give you a report that is likely to misrepresent the facts. When we come and appear before you, we should not give you a report which will be misleading, but rather we should come and present that which has been finalized by the entire department, that which has been consulted upon, so that tomorrow we do not create challenges for ourselves as government of the Republic of South Africa. I think that is all I can say. But if you feel strongly, Chairperson, that the CHR should go ahead and make this presentation, which I had indicated to you that we are not comfortable with a presentation which has not been well canvassed. It's a brilliant plan, but you may as well have a brilliant plan. But if your brilliant plan does not take into cognizance views of other people, views of the members of your department, it may as well backfire. And I think this is what I was trying to communicate to you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister. And in view of the fact that the matter arose on the 26th of August, with the return date being a date in November, which is today, I think 2.5 months later. So we are saying the plan is there, and it still has to be taken through the various consultation stages. And it said it's MCC, Military Command Center, and the Plenary Council. Is that what you said, Minister? What is the other council?
Plenary Defense Staff Council.
Plenary Defense Staff Council. And so those are the two bodies that are yet to be consulted.
No, Chairperson, I'm saying, if I may, Chairperson, a lot of work has been done. That work has been presented by CHR to the Military Command Council. There was no consensus on those matters. Hence, the reluctance to then proceed to the next step of taking it to the Plenary Defense Staff Council. What is important to me is that whatever solution we find, we prescribe to the Defense Force, we need to make sure that we take all of these structures on board, and that finally when the Council on Defense, which now is chaired by myself, which includes the Deputy Minister, the Chief of the Defense Force, and the Secretary for Defense, all of those processes should have been fully exhausted. It's not as though there is no work being done, Chairperson, on these matters. There's a lot of discussion, there's a lot of engagement, and some of the things raised by the Defence Force Service Council are very correct. There's been a lot of engagement. But do you want, is the question, do you want to go and appear in the public about matters which there is no agreement on amongst your uniform members, amongst others? Answer on my side is no. And I have said to CHR, I have said to the Chief Defense Force, please engage all of the structures, proceed to appear before the Plenary Defense Staff Council, then you can bring this matter to the COD for a final endorsement. For as long as there are other structures which are left out, Chairperson, out of that process, we are creating an unnecessary tension for ourselves. I think that's what I thought I was trying to explain, Chairperson, with due respect.
Right. If I hear you well, Minister, you are saying the plan was presented at the Military Command Council, but there was no consensus. And therefore it could not be taken to the Plenary Defense Council for further consultation before it serves before the Council of Defense for final endorsement. All right, is that what, have I heard you well, Mr. Am I correct?
Yes, Chairperson, that's what I said.
All right.
And when I heard about it, when I got to know that there is disagreement, there is disagreement on how to proceed on this matter, I then directed to the Secretary of Defense that these matters are matters we should be properly canvassed, because you don't want us to appear here and talk about a whole lot of things, including matters which members of the ordinary, your ordinary members of the Defense Force may not have been taken on board on, which are likely to create problems for us. For me, Chair, if you say we should go ahead and present, I think I'll gladly say CHR should present. I don't want an impression created that no work is being done to deal with this matter. However, I think Mabel was being overcautious by saying you do not take issues to Parliament before you fully exhausted them, before you've ensured that you've taken all of your members on board, so that we don't create instability within the South African National Defence Force. That is the last thing you want. And this is what I have said, and this is what I am saying, Chairperson. Thank you very much. And I'm fully cognizant, Chair, of the fact that these are some of the matters which we did raise at the Lukutla, which we had with you, I think, on the 16th of October. Just to say that there are certain things which are being done, but I feel uncomfortable when people come and make presentations on matters which have not been fully agreed on, Chairperson. That is all I am living with. Thank you, Chair.
I hear you, Minister, but you're not telling us how much time you still need to have these matters finalized, so that we play by we get guidance from you. You have directed the chief of the the Secretary for Defense to ensure that these matters are properly canvassed. Have you given her the timeline by which she must have concluded this process?
Yes, Chairperson. Yes, Chairperson. We've agreed that before recess, we should come back to the committee and give a report. And before, I think, yes, before recess, before Parliament rises.
So in other words, we can schedule this matter for early in the new year.
Early in the new, I'm saying, Chair. I'm not saying early in the new year. I'm saying before this Parliament rises, we will be able to come and make a presentation to Parliament. But if you schedule it for the beginning of the year, that's fine. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, it's fine. At least, no, thanks. I wanted you to give us guidance as to when the department will be ready to present on these matters. And we are saying before Parliament rises, failing that early in the new year, depending on our schedule, of course. Colleagues, now thank you very much. I've listened to you, Minister. And let me just hear what other members have to say on this matter. I have Commissioner Salim. Is your hand up?
Yes, sir. Please.
Salome?
I apologize, sir. I'm going to lower my hand now. I apologize, sir.
Thank you so much. Right, I just want to see whose hands are up. Marae's hand. Oh, Marae has disappeared.
Yes, sir.
Tabo, is your hand up?
Yeah, Chair, my hand was up, but I think you have addressed the issue that I wanted to raise on the time frame thing.
On the time frame, all right. Mr. Marae, over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure that that this is good news, and I feel a bit really disappointed. I think, you know, the minister has said so many times in the past, South Africa and Parliament must decide on the defence force that we need and require. Here we have given the opportunity to the defence leadership and the minister to come and present to us today on how they need to deal with these challenges. With the greatest of respect, if we are trying to address this by the new year, by that time the main budget has been concluded, let's be honest. The state of the nation has been done, and the main budget is gone. So that is too late for the budget of 2021-2022. And this deals with my point earlier, that while it seems like National Treasury is serious about this, and the Defence Force Commission is serious and they address the issues, have we not seen the same kind of eagerness and earnest from the Department of Defence? And clearly it seems like, between the minister and the department and the defence leadership, there's not agreement on this. And that is a concern to me. I mean, we require discipline and disciplined leadership. And I would have expected that they would burn the midnight oil to make sure that we have got a plan today and a reliable and a credible plan. Yeah, we have got a report, but now we are told basically don't pay any attention to the report, because once we have workshopped that and consulted everybody, it may change. That again is a huge concern to me. We sit in a fiscal challenge and economic problems, and it doesn't seem like the Defence Force is prepared to burn the midnight oil to resolve these issues. I am incredibly disappointed. We are committing ourselves as the portfolio committee to deal with these challenges and to assist the department, but it seems like we certainly do not get the same from the department and from the minister in this sense. And it's no wonder we sit with so many challenges in the department. And as I've said, there's a world apart between, on the one side, National Treasury and Defence Force Commission, and the Department of Defence and the Ministry on the other side. There's worlds apart, and that will not be covered in the foreseeable future. So why we are delaying all these issues is just exacerbating the problem, and it's a huge disappointment. I cannot stress the disappointment, and that confirms my point that the initiative currently, the Defence Force do not want to take the initiative on this. They want to stumble back and fight back with regards to the only solution that they've got so far. With the greatest of respect, we want a fantastic Defence Force, but the only solution that they have given us, more money. And that is not possible. We know that for a fact. And my problem with some of their points that they've raised, rejuvenation, both equipment and staff, yes, it sounds very good. Currently, we have deployed basically all our equipment. Look at the condition of our equipment, our aircraft, our naval vessels. The only thing that we have attended to at this stage, basically, is HR, which is now over 60% of the budget, and it's on the increasing still. So I just want to raise and register that incredible disappointment, and it seems like we've got a major leadership problem in the Department of Defense and the Defense Force. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Any other comments, colleagues?
Chairperson Mafanya.
Mr. Mafanya.
Yes, thank you. I concur 100% with our colleague Mr. Mare is saying, but the moving forward is that I think the minister could have come first the issue with you even before she came here, because he knew that even though work has been done, they are not ready to make a presentation, even when they have the presentation as we speak. The discretion depends on us, but the reality is that she should have canvassed this issue to Chair, and then it shouldn't have been a debate as we speak, so that you could have said, we have a report, but we are prepared to give a report even before it says, can we postpone this, unlike where we have to debate the matter now. So moving forward, I think it is best when we are confronted with such issues, the minister must canvass these points of consideration and concern from her part, so that we don't find ourselves even probing the manner at which things are done. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Any other comment? All right.
It doesn't look like there's any other comment. And
Chairperson.
And DM, can I finish the memo?
That's fine.
That I don't mix the cross the lines. Thanks. All right, colleagues, are there any comments from the members? All right. The minister said they would be ready before Parliament rises. So we are on leave from...
Chair, I got kicked out, man. I wanted to comment.
Wanted to comment. Okay, just before you comment, can I just conclude this? And there's a recess period, constituency period from 30th to, in other words, we rise on the 30th of November until next year, in which case we can't schedule. It's not possible to schedule, to have this matter scheduled in this, what you call, before the end of this year. The current year. I therefore suggest that it be the first item in the new year. So Brian, please schedule it accordingly, that before we rise, the program for next year, for the first term, must be ready. And this matter being the first item on the program for the first term. Agreed, Brian?
Noted, sir.
Okay. All right. So that concludes the timeline so that we we get this recorded, that when we expect this matter to come up again in the new year. And Thabo, you wanted to say something? Honorable Mutle?
Yes, sorry, I was muted, Chair. Sorry. I wanted to comment before your comment, but the system kicked me out and I had to come back. I agree with your last assertion, Chair, on rescheduling of this item. But I'm a bit worried if this meeting will conclude in saying that probably there's a problem with the minister's leadership in terms of moving these items with the speed that will be satisfactory to the portfolio committee. I think the minister has outlined the challenges, and it is incumbent upon us as the portfolio committee to work together with the ministry to support them and ensure that they deliver according to the time frame. Because I think it is our observation that the issue of time frame probably is a challenge at the level of the department. It is not the first item or matter that the department has come forth and said that they are not ready. And it's something that we need to work with them so that they actually correct that particular aspect rather than to actually lambast or condemn the leadership of the minister. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Thabo. I think the minister is trying to produce a plan that will fly. I think she must be commended on that, because what's the point of crafting a plan that is not capable of being given effect to? One, because of lack of consultation
especially if it will affect certain interest. Two, because you know, it's incapable of being implemented for a number of reasons, and there may be budgetary, there may be related to conditions of service and all that. It's proper that we grant the department time to go through this process, because we are actually asking them. It's not an easy process we are asking them to undertake. We are saying to them, look, the country is facing serious financial constraints, and therefore any plan we produce must take that into account. The situation is not likely to improve, and we know that. At the same time, we want a defense force that is fit for purpose. As soon as we realize that there is a threat to the critical capabilities of the defense force, and caused, amongst other things, you know, the over expenditure against the compensation of employees, we must point it out and ask the department to seriously mitigate, so that we don't have a situation where we end up with a defense force that is not fit for purpose, whose critical capabilities have been seriously compromised. We know now that there are areas that if we lose them now, and we're not going to get them back. We lose them and lose them for good. And we in that process, we compromise the sovereignty, sovereign capability of our country. So we're together on this. Let there be consultation. And so the minister asked to come back before the end of this year, but we say, no, we don't have a meeting. The program is full and we can't accommodate them before the end of this term. And we say maybe, so we'll schedule them. Not maybe, we'll schedule them in the first next year on our. They will be on the first term program of the department. And so, Def, I hope you not come back to me and on the last minute to say hey. And we're not ready. We're just giving you notice now. And that's what you have committed, the minister's committed you to, that you will come back early to us on this matter early next year. The good thing in the meeting, there was also the chief of staff who would convey the message to the chief of the defense. I think we want to leave it at that. I know that the deputy minister wanted to say something, but deputy minister, I don't know now that we have closed the matter. But let me grant you the opportunity to talk.
No, Chair, thank you very much. I'm actually covered by Honorable Member Mutke's comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, DM. Right, the second item on the agenda, measures to mitigate the over expenditure. Who is charged with that responsibility?
Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable SecDef, over to you.
Chairperson, I just wanted to latch on the way you were summarizing, because you would recall the issue of the over expenditure. I just wanted to say that if we can look at this together with the item on the HR plan. The reason being that our over expenditure or where we have exceeded our budget, it's only in the COE area. So as we look at the various options as to what we'll do, which we've done even with the issues of natural attrition, the issues of not filling vacant posts and the issues of the MSD, we will then be able to demonstrate how much we are then reducing the burden that we have, because our budget for COE is 29 billion and now we are at about 32 point something billion. So we are over by 3.4 billion. So how we deal with the HR plan will automatically tell us the savings that we are going to be making in order not to exceed what is allocated in terms of our COE budget. So that's the point that I wanted to add, Chairperson.
I think that is fair, but I would be guided by the comment by the colleagues. Comments, colleagues. I think the SECDEF says until you have dealt with the elephant in the room, which is the COE, you are not going to come up with any plan that resolve the issue of over expenditure to the satisfaction of anybody. And colleagues?
Chairperson?
Yes, Mr. Mabe?
Yes, I think the SECDEF is quite correct. It is just very, very important that at that stage, we must know that over expenditure, because we expect that there will be an over expenditure. And it will be there. How that will affect and impact on our other commitments with regards to defense readiness, you know, the Air Force, the Navy, our commitments in terms of Biro and Hotel, you know, things like that, Arms Corps role. So it must be a comprehensive plan, because we know that that money must be recovered or recouped from somewhere, and that will have an impact on our ability to comply with the constitutional requirements, and also the percentage then of HR costs versus the total one. So those comprehensive plans will be very, very important, because the one will most certainly affect the other one as the HR cost is just going up and up and up. Thank you.
Any other comment, colleagues? All right. Your request is granted, SECDEF. You may want to comment on the comments. May I ask you to come back?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that I do hear the comments of Honorable Mare, and I think that we will look at that, because clearly, I mean, even right now, as you speak, the fact that we are over that budget, it has impacted on what we even get on the special defense account, which is largely about your sovereign acquisition. So I do agree that when we come back, it must be a comprehensive plan that will then say that if we have stabilized everything, what are the other areas within the department that would have been impacted by this exceeding of the budget that will now benefit, and we begin to stabilize the environment. So it will be like that, Chairperson.
No, thank you so much, SECDEF. I think your request it's fair. Colleagues, I think we've covered both issues that we were on the agenda. I wanted us to deal with the minutes. We still have a bit more time. We can excuse the department and then deal with the balance of the minutes. But maybe before I do that, the minister may want to say something before she leaves. I'm too sure if she's still.
Chairperson. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Thank you, Chair, for agreeing to give us time to finalize these matters, which are quite sensitive matters, which matters, of course, require decisiveness. But you will really forgive me, Chair. I'm not the kind of person who would, I don't want to appear before the committee just for the sake of complying with that. I want to appear before the committee and present a report, right, which will be acceptable, a report that has credibility, not to appear before you and just to, you know, to impress, but no, it's been done. When it says, I know that it's not going to be done. Excuse me, my black lips, I was eating berries here. Sorry, Chair. Now, one of the things, I'm sorry, Chair, I'm embarrassed because I can see it there on the screen. I do believe, Chair, in creating a stable environment. I do want to believe that we need to retain the stability of the defense force. And therefore, decisions which we take, decisions which we want to solicit amongst ourselves, must be decisions which are going to be acceptable, decisions which are not going to compromise the stability of the department. I do believe in taking people along with me, and therefore, Chair, really, it has nothing to do, and I want to say this, Honorable Murray and other honorable members, we're not undermining the defense the portfolio committee. However, for me, if I come here and misinform you or say things which I fully know that they are not going to happen, I mean, you will begin to question my integrity, I think. So, Chairperson, honorable members, we welcome and appreciate the fact that you are giving us this time, and we can assure you that this work will be done. Mine is to ensure that the defense force moves together on these matters, and we do not create unnecessary tensions or unnecessary instability, because this entity is not an entity which would be good for it to be fractured. You want to keep it together all the time, and you want to make sure that people understand what their mission is. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, honorable members.
We support you in those endeavors, Minister. Please countenance. All right. Lekwase, you can hear the conversation on your side. Can you mute the phone, the mic? May I therefore grant the department and so that they may not hold when they deal with matters that they may not have an interest in. And wish to take. And Dimas Kosana, your phone is please mute it. Can we then go back to our minutes, colleagues? Utilize the next 15 minutes. Even if we deal with two, I would be happy. I thank all those who came, Minister, Deputy DM, and commissioners from the Defence Service Commission. Mm-hmm. And so wish you well. Can you then move to the next item? Right, the minutes of the 24th of June. Okay, colleagues, this is the attendance register. Right, I'm sure you can see the register. Go to the next page.
Chairperson, I mean, with your indulgence, just with regards to what we have just experienced, I think all of us are very disappointed, and you know, it is just not fair, even if they come a day before the time to you and say, you know, they've got a challenge and a problem.
Mr. Murray, yes, you are welcome on the item, and
when I have moved off this.
I accept that, but I just wanted to register. You know, it's a huge disappointment, and we have had such a great expectations of what we will we would have discussed today. Thank you.
They've all left. They've all left. They had the opportunity to express that.
It was not aimed at her, but although them, but at you and my colleagues in the portfolio committee.
Okay, colleagues, can we move to the next to the minutes introduction? So these are the minutes. Apologies, and number three, consideration of minutes of the previous minutes. We covered those sets of minutes. You can move, Brian. Number four, it was a briefing by the appeal board of the Department of Military Veterans on its mandate and challenges. And are there any changes you want effected? All right, move, Brian. And on this one, we're still on page three. All right, move, Brian. We are now on page four, the discussions 4.1. We're now at the end of page four. We on page five. All right, and go, Brian, to the end of page five. We're now at the end of page five. The resolutions of the committee. The resolutions of the committee, right? And then right up to the beginning of page six, Brian, move. Those are the marks that end of page. Right. Must we accept the minutes as a true reflection? Any objection to us accepting the minutes? Any mover?
I move, Chair.
Master moves. Any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Ms. Baker second. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brian. Let's move to the second set. Brian, 8th of July, 2020. Brian, are we still together? Well, thank you. So this is the second set. So we're considering the special budget, a special adjustment budget, and all right. This is the attendance register. Brian, move. Introduction, apologies, and three consideration of minutes of the previous meeting. So we deferred that item, and then we go straight to item number four, deliberations on the impact of the adjusted estimates on national expenditure with respect to DOV, DMV, CCP, and AMSCO. All right. So there was a briefing by the Council Board, Control Board, on the impact of the adjustment.
on their performance. All right, move. It was AMSCO on the impact of the adjusted budget. And
Chairperson, can I just ask on that AMSCOR, just if they can just go back slightly a bit. On that no salaries, etc., I can recall clearly I have asked the question with regards to performance bonuses for both the 1920 and the 2021 financial years. I've posed that question, although it only refers to the 2021. And on that question of mine, both the CEO and the CFO responded confirmatory. I only see it as refers to 2021. If that should have been recorded, so it should have been on tape. So I just want a rectification, because the reason I'm mentioning that is my information is AMSCOR is indeed paying out bonuses, notwithstanding their confirmation and their commitments to us. So it is very important that for me that we must, that if the content advisors and the secretary can only go and check that for us, because it was my question. And I am pretty sure what I've asked and what they've confirmed, and it's not reflected in here.
Well, on their presentation, Mr. Marais, they were very clear, because the issue was how they intend mitigating the risk posed by the budget cut. And they proposed these measures. I remember that very well. And
you're quite correct. You're quite correct. But I asked the question both.
Sorry. Mr. Marais, and they all speak to 2021, and they will come to the discussions. Continue.
That is not correct.
No, we're coming to the discussions, Mr. Marais. It's their presentation. All right. Okay. So, in the discussions, having received the presentations, the committee noted the following. All right. You may then say what you want to say under the deliberations. Okay.
I just want to see, is it captured in there? Because I, as I've said, I mean, if I'm wrong, they can just go and check the recordings. But I that was a specific question of mine with regards to both years, and they have both confirmed that nothing will be paid out, although the information is now that they are indeed paying out bonuses. And that is...
No, that's fine. We'll check the record, Mr. Marais, and check the record in respect of bonuses. The focus was on the 2021.
Yeah, no problem, but that was a specific question. Thank you.
So check the record, and if the record agrees with you, they'll then amend the minutes accordingly. So note that as an issue that must be checked against the verbatim record. All right, 4.3. A briefing by the Department of Defense on the impact of the adjusted budget. And Ms. Chibiliga, the Chief Director, led the presentation. All right, continue. So having received the briefing from the DOD, the members raised the following matters, issues. Okay, those four paragraphs I can see there on page 5. All right, continue to the next page. All right, 4.4 is the briefing by the Department of Military Veterans on the impact of the adjusted budget. General Mgwebi led the presentation. All right, continue. Having received the briefing, the committee made the following observations. Up to the next page, right? And then the committee resolved as follows. And the committee agreed that once the revised annual performance plans and strategic plans of the two departments and the entities have been finalized and approved, these should be presented to the committee. Two, the committee agreed that further engagements between AMSCO, DOD, and the National Treasury should be prioritized. Three, that the committee urged further consultation between the DMV, the National Treasury, and National Treasury to manage the impact of the budget cut, especially on COVID-19 funds and the health-related funding. And four, the committee welcomed the initiative of the DMV to approach National Treasury to fund the three statutory bodies separately, and that it should be and that it should keep the committees abreast of the developments in this regard. All right. I'm not too sure if we Brian, we wanted this is the decision of the meeting. Is our position that we support them to have these bodies funded separately. All we needed is for DMV to ring fence and allocation to the entities. If you can correct that.
That would be correct, sir.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we're dealing with the PFMA, and I think, don't think the PFMA allows for that specific, so I agree with you, Chair.
Thank you so much, sir. Colleagues, any other comments? Must I accept this set? We're almost 4 minutes away.
Chair, with those two points, the one of mine and the one of yours, with that, I propose.
Yes, thanks so much. It's proposed by Mr. Mare. Any seconder?
Chairperson.
Maliake.
Chairperson, I'll second, I mean, the Madison Marie. But Chairperson, before I mean you close, if you can assist me on the question that was raised by Mr. Marie regarding the issue of the bonuses, that if it is found on the recordings that yes, I mean it is as he's saying, how are we going to know as a committee that it has been corrected? Thank you.
Yes, you are right, Mr. Shilembe. Brian will consult the record and then communicate to us the amended. Should the record suggest that we must amend the section, we'll then circulate the amended version. In other words, we're adopting the minute subject to the corrections as proposed today. But one proposed by Mare is also subject to confirmation, to that being confirmed by the record itself before it's incorporated. Thank you so much.
Correct. Thank you very much.
But I will communicate that to your colleagues. Colleagues, I think we have done very well. We have done the report and the 2 minutes. I think we're left with 4 sets of minutes. Am I right, Brian? Am I right, Brian? So we defer those to the next meeting?
We are left with 5, Chair.
Okay, we defer those to the next meetings. Colleagues, thank you very much. May I thank all of you for attendance and participation today, and the meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Regards
to everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Chair.